This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I just found out my married son had an affair and the woman may be pregnant.
I breastfed all my children at the same time. I also breastfed my husband.
What?
That's all fun and everything. And then all of a sudden a thought creeps into my head. What if I teleport to the roof?
You guys want to talk about boobs for a quick second?
So, ladies and gentlemen, the very, very first time in the studio, we have, looking at me right now, Marquesa Scalia. Marky.
Say hi.
Okay. We're going to move on.
I am not friend of. I am not housewife maybe. I am housewife.
To be honest, I just don't see a reason for me to listen to your podcast.
Okay. All right.
Needless to say, we wind up having sex. Whoa!
I think my life without television would have been drastically different.
Sex in a car is probably something you're not that great at.
I was great at that, actually.
Rich Wakili is not hairy.
I will say this. No one gets more unsolicited drinks thrown at them than Al.
Chris Manzo 8, Venmo.
Having you on the show was a mistake.
Here's my thought. I just had an idea, but I forgot it.
The dating life in general should have just straight up contracts. Should be like sports.
What's up, everybody? This is a brand new Dear Albie. I have our friend Christine here. Christine, this is your first time doing the show. Have you ever listened to the show ever?
Never.
I really appreciate the support.
Christine
is supposed to do the show with my sister Lauren.
And I will not start without her.
And, well, I mean, it's going. This thing is rolling. You said you were nervous to do the show. Is there a particular reason?
Because I feel like you will embarrass me.
Why would I embarrass you?
Because you tend to do that.
I don't think I embarrass you ever in real life.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I don't.
Okay, see, this is why I need Lauren.
Well, see, and you didn't think you were going to be any good. Look how good you are.
Oh, yeah.
You're doing so great.
Oh, yeah, sure.
This is fantastic. No, but you said about, 10 seconds ago, Lauren just came down and said she just didn't feel like doing this?
Correct.
It was her idea to do it. Well, no, I mean, I asked you guys to come, and then it was her idea. She called me and said, let's do it. Let's show up.
But you suggested it.
Yeah, of course. I texted you guys, and I said I thought you would be good on the podcast.
I just feel like you're going to embarrass me, and you're going to enjoy it.
I don't think I'm going to embarrass you and enjoy it, Christine. That's not a nice way to think. So you have no idea what the show is about, what it does.
No, I don't support you. I'm sorry.
No, it's fantastic. That much I've gathered in this conversation. So
I feel like a terrible friend at this particular moment.
Yeah, I think that would be a pretty good way. I mean, you've heard of it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you just have been ignoring this, the Instagrams, the conversation, the everything about it.
I mean, if you post something on Instagram, I'll support by liking your post.
Well, I mean, now you're basically a family friend, and you're a friend of Lauren and Candace's, really. You were friends with Candace first, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So did you listen when Candace was on the show?
I did not.
So really, you're not just not supporting me, you're not supporting any of us.
Well, that's harsh.
Because technically speaking, everybody's done the show.
Yeah, but does Candace listen to the show, or did Candace only listen to the show when Candace was on the show?
If you know Candace. Candace definitely only listened to the show when she was on it.
Yeah, but that's it.
Yeah, probably.
So why probably. Are you coming down on me about it?
I'm not coming down on you about it. I'm just trying to explain to you how, you know, I would just think that maybe when Candace was on, maybe you would tune in then, or maybe when Lauren was on. They were both very mean to me when they did the show.
See, this is why I need her. Where is she?
Because you're hoping to have somebody here to gang up on me with.
No, because I feel like you're going to ask me a question and I might not be comfortable in responding to it. And then I'll have her to be like, Al, shut up.
It's just not that kind of show. I mean, what kind of show do you think you're on right now?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm walking into here.
You don't know anything about it?
No, because I don't listen to it.
Okay. Well, we took basically what we did on this show, which is an awesome plug, being that you don't listen to it ever.
Maybe now I'll start.
Yeah. I mean, will you start with your episode, I guess?
Yeah, so I guess that's a good idea.
You're going to play this exactly like Lauren and Candace did. I bet you Lauren didn't even listen to her episodes.
Has Lauren listened to any other episodes?
I don't know. No, she's definitely made it very clear on every show that she's done that she doesn't listen to the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but it's a good show. We take basically questions from old advice columns, and we ask them to me, and we had a little mailbag, okay? And it's for the listeners here, this is the time that we plug that, dearalbummailbag@gmail.com, and people started writing in their own questions. Now, as you know, we were on reality TV for a number of years, and everybody was chiming in on our lives and what the hell was wrong with us. And this is kind of like our turn to chime in on theirs, because they've been writing in some pretty crazy stuff about their own lives. And we basically just kind of butt in on other people's business.
So are you giving people advice?
I mean, I suppose that we're responding. Whether or not it's advice or not is up to them. I mean, they're basically, you know, letting us get involved in their business, and they're either okay with it or they're not. I don't know. I mean, I suppose if you don't want our response, don't write in, I guess is the easy answer. Now, does that kind of blow your mind that people are writing in for advice?
I feel like if they were writing in for advice from your mom, that would make sense.
You're trying to say I give bad advice?
No.
Because you and I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, Christine, but you have come to me for advice in the past. You have.
I don't know if that's entirely true.
It's kind of true.
Advice about...
I'm just like personal stuff. We, you and I have a good friendship. We talk.
I think in regards to maybe sometimes dating advice from a guy's perspective.
Sure.
But other than that, that's about it.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Thank you so much. You're doing a marvelous job. Really, you're making me feel awesome.
I'm so sorry.
As this goes on. Yeah, Lauren's still not down here.
I'm going to text her.
You should text her. Yeah, give her a call. Throw it on speaker. Here we go.
Imagine if she ignored me.
I was just saying to my mom upstairs, I was like, I don't want to go down there, but I heard them start. So once I heard them start, I snuck upstairs.
Yeah, no, you need to get down here right now. You think this is so funny? She thinks it's so funny.
That's so messed up. Oh, I don't think it's nice of them at all.
No.
So a couple things. So does it insult you that your number isn't stored on my phone?
What?
Yeah, see? I hit you right back. Yeah, your number's not my phone.
Why?
Isn't that crazy? I always think that it is, too. I just always assume that it is.
So when I text you, you just know it's me? Or you've got
like,
no,
you know why? You've got like three numbers in a row.
Yeah, 444.
Yeah, and I'm like, what? So for some reason, it just makes me remember.
So all these years, do you know that your brother doesn't keep my number in his phone?
Lauren is here, ladies and gentlemen. Do you? Yeah, I just broke the news to Christine that her number is not saved in my phone.
Isn't that insulting?
Do you have Al's number in your phone?
Yeah, of course.
But she doesn't listen to the show.
But does Lauren listen to the show?
Nope.
So
did you listen to your episodes?
Nope.
So you don't know anything about anything
going
on? So
that's not a reason
why. I do know
why.
That I am the most beloved Dear Albie guest.
How do you know that?
Because everyone messages me and tells me.
She doesn't post. I don't think she follows us. Nothing.
I would post if you asked me to.
Well, I mean, it's just the type of thing that I feel like if you were part of the show, you'd post it yourself. I'm not thirsty like that. I don't ask anybody to do it.
But my question is why are you telling me that my number's not in your phone? Is it because my feelings?
Yes.
Like I'm not a good enough friend that my number doesn't deserve to be saved?
No. You've got the 444 thing. You know, a couple times I have wanted to text you, and I'm like, that's so weird. Maybe I have it saved under a nickname or something. Then I have to say to myself.
So when I texted you last week.
Yeah, the 444 gave it away.
You just knew it was me.
It's the 444. I mean, I don't know. I feel like if it wasn't a 444, I'll tell you what. If, let's get through the show, and, you know, depending on how it goes, and maybe if you're a little nicer to me, I'll save your number in my phone.
It's okay. It's okay. I don't need you to do me any favors.
Lauren, welcome back. Did you think you'd be doing this show ever again, Lauren?
Lauren's not into this today.
I'm never into it. Every time he does it, he picks the worst times for me to do it.
Well, do you have fun when you do it? I feel like you have fun when you do it.
Hmm.
Now, Lauren, you've thrown up every time you've done the show.
Yeah, she was just doing upstairs. That's why she took forever.
Yeah, we had a couple people ask about that. Like, number one, if they thought,
but why did that even come up?
Because she throws up every time we do the show. In the middle of the show, she just gets up and throws up.
Okay.
So now some people actually thought we made it up. And a couple of people actually asked about, like, how many times a day do you do that?
It's not that I'm not bulimic or anything. It's when your lap band is too tight. Or, like, if it's, like, at a regular tightness, but, like, you overeat. So, like, there are times that I'll take a bite of food and be like, okay, this is going to be the bite that's going to make me throw up my food. Because, like, I know that it's, you know, that my body's had enough. But also, on a day like today, it is extremely hot out. But with, like, the air conditions or whatever, it's like 95 degrees out today or something. But with the air conditions here in New Jersey, it feels like 115. And it's very humid, so naturally that would make someone's body swell up.
But what I don't understand is everybody that has the lap band throws up when they eat like that.
Does my dad throws up.
Not my dad throws up a lot, but it's not everybody. It's the people. Like, it's my own fault that I throw up. It's not the lap band's fault. It's my fault. Like, I know
that you ate too much.
Yeah, like I know. Like, if I take smaller bites and chew, then I won't throw up. But I'm kind of like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, like today at lunch.
And I'll, like, shovel my mouth.
Yeah.
Like, and then be like, oh, I got to throw up. I'll get up, like, five times to throw up.
It must be very unpleasant.
It's not.
Oh, okay.
No, it's fine.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I'm glad we cleared it up. So we're going to get right into it, guys.
So we're going to go to the Brownstone tonight for dinner.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's different.
Sit at the bar. Daddy's at the bar free. That's, so you can come. You won't feel like, you know.
Okay.
That's never happened
Even
before.
Even though my number's not in Al's phone, I'm still welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're really upset about that. Should I have waited to the end?
Seems very sensitive.
Christine, it's not a you thing. Me and you talk via DM a lot. We actually get into that.
I feel like you probably talk to a lot of people via DM a lot.
No, a lot of my friends hit me up on DM.
Ooh, burn.
Was that an insult?
Yeah, I think so.
Was it really? Okay. Well, it's funny because it's actually going to come up later in the show. Believe it or not, I saw it. But we're going to start this thing off.
Wait, I want to talk about how...
here we go.
Al has been sending us screenshots of conversations from Aline.
So you didn't listen to the last thing.
Who's
obviously
Aline?
No, I didn't. But I know Aline was very upset with me specifically.
She's pissed. Aline sent in a really she was upset about how her name was being pronounced.
I don't even remember what I said about Aline's name.
I guess you butchered the pronunciation of her name.
Oh, I mean, I named my daughter Marquesa expecting people to butcher saying her name.
So she wrote me a DM saying that she listened to the show, which she told us the week before she was done listening to the show.
I saw that.
Yeah, but now she's back.
Can you someone tell me who this person is?
Yeah, her name's Aline. That's it.
She had written in, and we kind of, I wouldn't say we made fun of her name, but I was like, Aline, we couldn't figure out how to say her name. It's spelled A-L-I-N-E.
A-L-I-N-E.
It's spelled like a line. So I'm like, what the fuck kind of name is that? Like, how do you say, you know what I mean? I wasn't trying to hurt her feelings. You know what, Christine? This is a perfect example for Christine to be here, because Christine, what do I always tell you?
About what?
Like, if you were to be offended by something like that. Is your name Christine? Is it Christine? What is it? How do I say it? If you were to get upset, I'd be like, you're too fucking sensitive.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You're too fucking sensitive, Aline.
I didn't know if we were allowed to swear.
You're too
you're
sensitive.
You're a couple weeks old.
All right,
Aline,
it doesn't matter.
So Aline wrote in.
But
But we're cool now.
I know that. But Aline has a problem with me. I've noticed that from the screenshots. And that's fine, Aline. You have a problem with me. But you got to have thicker skin. All right?
But sometimes
it's
not so easy to have thick skin.
Poor Aline's been getting butchered for a month now.
I did not mean to hurt your feelings. You know, it did not come from a mean place. I'm not a mean person.
Lauren doesn't have a mean bone in her body.
I don't.
No, it's crazy.
People think I do.
I'll tell you what's nuts. This show has had a lot of people whose names have gotten pronounced differently, especially when Chris is on. Chris did it on purpose. And somebody wrote in, and we call her Meg Han. Okay.
M-E-G-H-A-N.
Yeah. And Chris called her Meg Han, and she freaked out. And we actually have people writing in asking what is the last thing that happened to Meg Han. But anyway, I digress. We're going to get into the questions a little bit. So this is actually a Dear Abby. It's a little softball for you. Okay. It came in 2006. The question is, Dear Abby, my husband and I are in our late 30s, healthy and in good shape. Our love life is good, and we get along better now than we ever have in our marriage. Before we get older, my husband has asked me to visit a nudist beach or resort with him. He also says he would like to spice up our sex life by making love in the forest beside a mountain stream, or even in the backseat of our car in a secluded spot. Coming from a religious background, I am not totally comfortable with the idea of going nude at a beach in front of a lot of other people, or the thought of being caught having sex in the woods. My husband says that visiting a nudist beach or resort is not about exhibitionism or immorality. He says it is about enjoying nature and feeling the sensation of being free outdoors. To be honest, these are things I might like to try, but I am just not sure. I'm concerned about what others would say and think if they found out. My husband says what we do is our business, and the only way anyone would know is if we told them. Would it be wrong for us to go to a nude beach or resort or just try it out? Wondering wife in Pennsylvania. So this is interesting. I just got back from Spain, and I didn't know. I guess the beach that we were on was a nude beach.
I feel like Europe is just much more free and non-judgmental.
Nobody cared. Yeah. And people were just like walking around like there are kids around. I'm like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Which you would think at a minimum they'd be like hours on that. You know what I mean? But people are just letting it fly.
We have a different mentality of that here.
Are you in any way uncomfortable with the... You know there's a nude beach in Jersey. I'm going to look that up actually while we're doing this. But... I do believe there's a nude beach in New Jersey, but I can't see myself ever like as the, if you want to go to a nude beach, good for you, do your thing. But as a husband to a wife, I can't be like, hey, honey, you want to go get naked on the beach in front of a bunch of strangers? I just don't see that happening.
I mean, everybody has their own thing. I guess if it was my husband and that was something that he wanted to do and it was like super important to him, I would do it. However, it's not something I would ever want to do.
So then you kind of like factored it into like you want to do anything for your husband type of person, even if it makes you uncomfortable, or like, do you fight back a little bit?
I mean, I guess it depends on what it is, but when it's something like that, I would do it.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Let's go to a nude beach. Lauren, if Vito hit you up and said, honey, I'm dying to go hit the nude beach, what would your reaction be?
You can go.
I think you probably would.
Can you imagine him there alone, naked?
Can you imagine Vito walking around naked alone on a beach? That's amazing.
Yeah,
that would be really something. But I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like it's just, I don't know. It's not for me. And it's not like I would be embarrassed of how I look naked kind of thing. It's just kind of like a...
Yeah, I wouldn't love it. It wouldn't be my favorite day in the world. But if that was something that was really important to my partner, I would do it.
Now, if you... went to a nude beach.
You also
beach.
Don't have to get nude at a nude beach. It's not like a rule.
Well, let's say you went to a nude beach, right?
You don't have to get naked. No. Like, I would go and just not get naked.
Well, I mean, that was Spain. I didn't know I was on a nude beach.
I mean, like, fully naked in Spain? Or is it just like they didn't have no top?
Well, I didn't see anybody with the bottoms off. Yeah, I saw no top.
So topless.
And it was weird. You know, like, just, it's not, you're not used to seeing it, number one. And it's just, I'm sitting at a cafe and I saw that. And it was really like, I can't believe it.
You didn't expect it.
Yeah. And, but like, to me, guys going to nude beaches and walking around naked is somehow like a much weirder thing for me. Number one, because I don't think guy tan lines are really that big of a deal. And number two, like, if you were there, right? And so you go to a nude beach with like a guy you're dating or something, right? And he's like totally getting all into it and looking at other people. I'd be a little weirded out. Some guy walked around and like the girl I was with was like staring at like, you know, his junk walking by. That's not for me.
I feel like the only guys that are going to go on the nude beach with their peepees hanging out are going to be the showers, not the growers.
The showers, not the growers?
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good point, though. because they don't want to embarrass themselves.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going to be like, look at that guy's small pee-pee.
If you're there with your partner, too, you don't want to be like the woman that's next to the guy who's like...
But I mean, like, if they're a grower, not a shower, then you're like, oh, you should see when it's a grower. Like,
yeah, but you don't want to be the guy that grows at the nude beach.
You also don't want to be somebody who has to explain it either.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, is it insulting if you walk around and some guy's like, you know, all like at attention, just walking around saying hi? Like,
I mean, I don't know. Does that happen?
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say, would you go to a nude beach by yourself?
No. What's the point?
Well, let's say you did with a group of friends, right? And a guy...
I don't have friends that would want to do that.
And a guy, let's say hypothetically speaking, right? A group of friends, like, they're at a bachelorette party in like Ecuador or something. I have no idea why I'm saying Ecuador if there are even nude beaches in Ecuador. I'm just throwing the thing out. And a guy naked walked up to you on the beach. Let's say you had your bathing suit on. Mm-hmm. Okay. Respectful, this, that, and the other. Okay. He just happened to be at a nude beach where you were. Oh, don't touch the wire.
What kind of cheap fucking shit is this that I can't touch a wire?
So if a guy was naked at the nude beach, right? Can't really hold that against him. But he walked up to you and just said, hey, you know, I think you're really pretty. I'd love to take you out sometime. This, that,
really,
and the other.
I don't like talking to new people.
But that's from, but you're on a
so
nude
whether,
beach.
Whether, no, I said new people. So okay. Whether you're nude or not, I don't really want to talk to you. So I probably just wouldn't say anything anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, she gets into, now the husband then brings it to having sex in public, which is a totally different thing. Like that, I don't think that's okay anywhere. Like, I don't think that they've got, no, like legal. You know what I mean? They don't have like.
Well, you have to get caught.
Like, nude beach is not the same as sex beach.
Well, they're not, he's not saying that he wants to have sex on the beach. He says he wants to have sex outside somewhere.
Outdoors, yeah. But I don't see the whole nature thing. I just think he's trying to get down with her and you know.
Maybe she's boring.
I don't know. But anyway, do you want to hear what Abby said?
I would love to.
She said, dear wondering wife, I recommend you consider your husband's suggestions one at a time and see how comfortable you are with each other. There's nothing sinful about going to a nude beach with one's husband. When you do, you will see entire families and people of every age enjoying themselves, all looking remarkably similar and none of them leering at anyone else. Should you run into people you know, I can't imagine anyone gossiping about it, since they would have to explain how they happen to see you. As for spicing up your sex life by asking for love in public places, although some people may enjoy the danger of being discovered, I don't recommend it because it leaves couples vulnerable to being exploited by anyone who happens by or being cited for violating local ordinances against indecent exposure. She went the law route. So, I mean, you know.
I don't think that there's anything sexual about a nude beach. That's the thing.
No, it doesn't sound like that at all. But what she's saying is the nude beach is less messed up than doing it in public. Kind of a thing.
Right. No, I get it.
Which is somehow, like, I think weird. Because if you brought up, like, having sex in a car or going to a nude beach, you know, in this country, I feel like a lot more people have... Would it almost be more comfortable doing it in a car than going to a nude beach?
Well, yeah, because then you're like exposed to the public.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Lauren, are you still with us?
No. When I don't care about the subject, I stop paying attention.
Okay, well, we got another one. This one's for us, Laura. This came out off the Instagram, the Dear Albie Instagram. Dear Albie and gang, I'm a fan of this podcast and listen to it a lot. I'm 28 years old, single, and live in a suburb outside of Boston. The reason why I'm writing is that I'm terrible in the dating field because I have some challenges. I'm on the autistic spectrum along with having learning disabilities and other various health issues. When I meet guys, I try to be as honest as possible and open to my situation. Unfortunately, I've been open in the past and have gotten rejected several times. I don't want to pretend to be someone that I'm not, but I also want to be honest with the person that I'm dating. Love the podcast, by the way. My dad's sister, my Aunt Amy, casted your mom for Real Housewives of New Jersey. Any advice would be appreciated. She really buried the lead on that one. That's you know, we have her to thank, apparently.
Yes, now you have to respond.
Yeah, this is pretty, Lauren? You know.
I mean, I don't know. Is she going on a date and being like, hi, you know, we're on a date. You obviously think I'm mildly attractive and I obviously think you're mildly attractive and I like enough of your personality and you like enough of my personality to go on a date with me. So just go on the date. Like,
yeah, it seems like she's saying she gets rejected.
No one's telling you not to be honest about who you are. No one's telling you not to say that you're, you know, on the spectrum or, you know, I have a learning disability. I know you put in there that you have a learning disability. I have a learning disability. Al has a learning disability. So does Christopher. I was in the smaller classes growing up when, you know, I was in high school because I had a learning disability. I'm not embarrassed of that, but I don't feel that that's something that when I go on a date with somebody that I need to
like, hey, I want you to
I just
know.
I feel like we all have shit.
Yeah, and like, I want you to know you to I have a learning right disability. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it all like, depends.
Like, but, like, see if he likes you for who you are, because sometimes people could be shallow. So, like, it might be in their head, like, oh, well, like, the first, like, it's like you're identifying yourself as being like, that's who I am. That's obviously not who you are. There's obviously so much more to who you are and the person that you are. Being, you know, being on the spectrum and having a learning disability doesn't define you. Mm-hmm. Just like the fact that you might really love, I mean, I love dinosaur chicken nuggets, the ones that you microwave. I love them, okay? I don't think that defines me. I'm not going to tell someone that.
Different, but okay.
No, but it's something about me. I'm not going to tell somebody that on my first date because they might be like, this girl's white trash.
Well, that's like for me. You know, I'm 35 and I'm single. Do you think that I tell people that I live at home with a cat?
All of the things that you have wrong with you beforehand?
Right. Do you think I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, and then immediately, what's the thought?
Do you know how long it would take for me to tell somebody before I go on a date with them all the things that are wrong with me?
Listen, being on the spectrum, being on the spectrum and having a learning disability doesn't mean anything's wrong with you. But the thing is, you are obviously, you know, like you're getting these dates, you're going out with these people, so they obviously like something about you. So maybe they're almost seeing you coming out right away and saying that is almost like a
insecurity.
Well, here's the thing, to me, it's like.
It becomes a thing, like, oh, I should tell you before we get started. And then it doesn't matter what it's about. It could be it's like when you're dating somebody and like you haven't gotten like sexual yet, but you get to know them a little bit and, you know, you're really like taking, you know, you're really like realizing that you like them. You're realizing you want to spend more time with them. Maybe you haven't gotten sexual yet. And then they want to be like, listen, I wanted to tell you that like I have chlamydia.
Yeah. But then on the other
hand, you know what I mean? But it's like, or I have herpes. It doesn't go away. I have herpes, but whatever. It's like, okay, but I like this person. I've invested myself in this person.
But then on the other hand, if somebody, let's say somebody has a kid and they don't tell you right away they have a kid. Like if I was on a date with somebody and I went on several dates and they never told me that they had children, that would bother me.
Okay, but what if it's like, let's say it's asthma. Let's say it's asthma.
No, but if it's
a cold winter day and no one's getting an asthma attack. Do you find a reason to tell someone that you have asthma?
Hang on. This is here,
diabetes.
Here's how, here's
do you feel
how
a reason you gotta tell this person you have diabetes? But, no, like that's not necessarily something that you sit at a first date to seriously tell them.
I don't think any of the things that she has going on really define her. As a matter of fact, I think it probably enhances her personality and makes her a better person because like going through some of the things and challenges that she feels like she has faced, you know, I think it makes you more resilient. It makes you a lot more, I think it makes you a deeper person that, you know, we can relate to some of the issues that she has. But the thing is this, I look at it in the following ways. If she feels like she has to put these things out there because she is, for whatever reason, she would feel a little bit more secure or confident in herself before she says something, that's one thing. Like, for instance, if there is something that's going on with you, so if you met somebody that was deaf and you met them on a dating app, okay, and that was clearly going to be something that when you got together, you wanted to prep them for so they knew, like, you know, let's go to a certain place where communicating will be easy.
But that is going to affect the date. It's going to affect things. Whereas the autism is not necessarily going to affect the other person.
But that's what he's saying.
So are
you
trying to push them away?
Well, it depends. Like, so if she might have an element of that, like, let's say the autism end of things is I have an aversion to loud noises. Or like me, like, I've got, like little things that I know are kind of cute to myself. Like, there's, like, it's tough for me to be in like really crowded places. I got like a little social anxiety happening. I suck it up, whatever. But not everybody feels the same way. If somebody has a severe social anxiety, you might want to tell them, hey, listen, I have an aversion to this type of thing. You know what I mean?
Even something so like that.
Prepping. Yeah, but I have that. I have anxiety attacks. I have panic. But I have that. And I don't, that's not something I share.
Yeah, right. But if it was so bad that you couldn't ever be in a crowded place and somebody said, meet me at a bar, you knew the odds are stacked against you immediately. So you might want to, she might be doing it from that perspective.
But also, we have to understand, even if it has nothing to do with autism or anything like that, if someone says to you, perfect example, a friend of mine was on a first date, didn't like a specific food that the guy made her. Okay. And was like, I don't eat that. Nope. I don't eat that. And made a thing about not eating it. Mm-hmm. That stuck with the guy forever. And he ended up breaking up with her because it was Christine.
And I might cry right
she
here.
She made wow. such How long ago a big this? Deal God. About the guy making, I didn't, you have to call yourself out.
It's okay. Cause I feel like I was going to cry.
She
when
made
was
such
this?
A big deal about this guy making lobster on a first date. That
she was like,
I can't eat this. I can't eat this. She
why was
lobster.
She nervous
we
about
were,
it?
We were together after that. And then he brought that up later on as a reason why we were no longer together because he felt that I wasn't appreciative and it broke my heart.
Well, what's your issue with lobster?
I don't like it.
So I'm allergic.
Here's the thing. Before our first date, he called me and said, I would love to cook you dinner. What do you not? Do you have any preferences or things you don't like? And I said, no, I'll eat anything.
Oh, wow. That's tough.
Yeah. And so I should have. Now I'm in a different place
because
than
you
I
won't.
Was then.
You won't eat anything.
And that was also that was a long time ago.
But that it was long, 5 years ago.
But my point is that
I regret
something
it every day
like
of my life.
That sticks with guys suck. Mm-hmm. Something like that sticks with, oh, she's difficult. I can't deal. She's not difficult. She just doesn't like lobster.
5 years later, he will reference lobster in conversation.
Yeah. And he doesn't. But that's the thing. Like, it could be something as simple as lobster. It could be something as simple as being like, you know what? I know you want me to go out with your friends, but I don't like strangers. I'm a little socially awkward. I don't want to go out with strangers. Okay. And then they'll be like, what is this bitch? Like, what's wrong with her? She's awkward.
I have a friend, right? And she was dating somebody who, unbeknownst to her, she knew that he had been in the army and away in Afghanistan, but did not know that he had PTSD. So they go to the Thanksgiving Day parade. He doesn't say anything about anything. They get there, and now you're in a crowded space. There's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And he has, like, a complete attack of his PTSD so bad, and she had no idea what was going on. And it became one of those things where she was like, well, why didn't you tell me? If you would have told me, I would have been understanding. We didn't have to come here. And he was embarrassed to share that part of himself with her because their relationship was so new. But I feel like if it's the right person, they'll be understanding.
Well, I you know what? I think that so I have been in the situation from the other end where somebody's told me, hey, I've got this issue and you should know about it kind of a thing. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that made me say, you know, no go. You brought
so
up
you
something
made me
interesting
lobster
before.
And then I didn't eat it. You would be okay with it?
No, I would. I'll tell you where my issue with that would be if I was the guy. Well, a couple of things. Number one, did you show up and the lobster was already cooked?
No, he cooked it when I was
So how
there.
The hell did you not know he was making lobster?
No, I did. He was making it, and I said, oh, God, I don't eat it. And then it was, like, alive, and he was putting it in the pot. It was, like, a whole thing.
You should have just sucked it up and ate it.
You know what? You know what it is? Because of the way I feel about things now, I am disappointed in myself, but it was one of those things where it was a first date, and I was nervous, and I just kind of
A cooking first date.
How I was acting.
A cooking first date is pretty hardcore, though, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot. Like, going to somebody's place, I'm going to cook for you the first time.
I had just started online dating, and I had just gone out of a 7-year relationship. It was my first date after 7 years with somebody, and really my first date dating as an adult that I met online, and he was like, come to my house, and I was, like, hesitant about that, but that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I did it.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
You know, it's funny, like you brought up a couple interesting things too, right? So in that example, if you said, hey, I'll eat anything, like I'm the type of person that like if you freaked out, I would say to myself, oh, well, you know, like I wouldn't be like, well, what's going on? I went out and got lobster. I'd be like,
also
oh, no.
didn't
like,
expect
know.
Him to make lobster, so I didn't want to be like, oh, I won't eat lobster, as if I expected him to make something like that.
Right. Well, look, I think there's a couple different aspects to it. But for her specifically, I think, you know, you don't necessarily have to explain all the things that you might feel, you know, you should let somebody know about. Like you can get to know somebody, I think, to Lauren's point a little bit first. But if these are things that you think you're telling them, you're telling these people something because you want them to build that experience, that first date experience around something that is going to make you feel comfortable the most yourself, I don't think she should be ashamed of that at all. Like, you got to do what you got to do.
You also feel like you get a feeling with people of whether or not that's something you'd want to share.
Well, so I'll give you an example, right? You brought up having kids, okay? I have dated a couple people that have had kids before, right? And one instance, I knew that, you know, she had a baby, but the girl hadn't brought it up. And the reason that I had an issue with it was I eventually brought it up to her. I was like, listen, I go, do you think that I'm going to like run away kind of thing? Like, it's clearly on your Instagram type stuff. Like, what's the deal? You know? And I actually, the response I got back was actually really sad. Just like a lot of guys actually bail when they hear that stuff. And to me, in a weird way, on that level, if there's something that is a part of your life, a major, major part of your life, and you're trying to bring somebody into it on a dating level, and they can't handle hearing whatever that is, whether it's something that is, you know, personally afflicting you, or even a good thing or a bad thing, whatever it is, if it's something that just makes you a little bit, you know, I guess different than what you would consider to be normal or average, right? If that's going to scare the guy off, you don't want to date the guy in the first place. So fuck
him. Right. No, I agree. Because I have a situation where my mom has MS and she's paralyzed and I take care of her a lot. So it becomes a situation where there's been guys that I've dated where I haven't brought it up, and then other ones where I've been forced to bring it up because it takes up a lot of my time.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally, it takes a big toll on me. So either they're accepting of that or they're not. So some people have been accepting and some have not.
I don't understand why in that instance, I mean, knowing you personally, a lot of where I think you're really, I don't like talking nice about you, Christine, but a lot of where I think you're actually
compliment?
A very amazing human being, wow. A very kind-hearted
compliment
person has to do with your relationship with your mom.
Oh, thank you.
And how you are with like really everything on that end of things. I don't understand, number one, why a guy would be turned off to it. But number two, do you look at that as, I mean, it's kind of like somebody like blowing off your best quality type thing. Are you almost like relieved when guys don't understand it?
I think I'm glad that I know that they don't understand it right away, because then I know that they're not the type of person I want to be with, because they don't have that kind of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are times when obviously I'll come home from a day with her and I'm emotional and it's difficult. And if they don't understand where that's coming from, then...
Yeah,
they're not for me.
I just think at the end, like, you know, you have she Allie here, even as she like kind of closes out the question, she says, I don't want to pretend to be somebody that I'm not, but I also want to be honest with the person that I'm dating. I think if they can't handle who you are, like, what are you going to do? You're going to buy yourself 3 weeks of a couple
of
dates?
The thing. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you're saying it as a way to deter people from dating you, like, oh, okay, this is what's going on. But on the other hand, it's maybe something that you can ease into. It doesn't have to be something that you share immediately. See if you have a connection with the person first.
I agree.
It's almost like that's something personal about you that maybe they don't even deserve to know that unless they're worthy of it.
I like it. We're going to move on. We got another Dear Albie at dearalbiemailbag@gmail.com. This is from the mailbag. And... We got another name,
good
guys.
Hair. What's the name?
This is from T-I-A-N. I'm going to say Tian. Tian. Tian.
Tian, probably.
Tian?
Is it short for something?
T-I-A-N.
Like
Tian. 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 I'm going to say Tian.
Are they
me? Anyway, Dear Albie, I haven't been in the dating field
Lauren's
in a while.
Tired.
I know. Lauren's so
She's
over
so
us.
She's so not into us.
Dear Albie, I haven't been in the dating field in a while. I get a date here and there, but nothing has been sticking. My friends have a group chat all about helping me find a girlfriend. They even have a due date, August 1st. I recently saw a girl I went to high school with on Instagram and thought about sliding into those DMs. I just don't know exactly how to. Note, I have never had a single conversation with her in my life. Please help. Tian.
How old is he?
Now, that was my first question. Is it a he? Is Tian a guy's name?
Looks like it.
I think I'm going to roll with this like it's a guy, which is shocking to me.
Well,
that's
like
our first guy.
My friends, and he said girlfriend.
Yeah, right. But it could be a girl. But my thing is, we've never had a guy write in. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's never happened. So that'd be big, Tian. That'd be big. So I'm going to address this like it's a guy, because I got a feeling. I feel like that's sliding into those DMs. Makes me feel like it's a guy. Those DMs. But anyway. So friends have a group chat about helping me find a girlfriend. They have a due date August 1st, which is really something. It's cool
but
that the friends got...
What's weird to me is that a group of guys wouldn't necessarily have a group chat about helping someone find it. Is it a lesbian?
That's what I'm saying.
I think Tian might be a lesbian. We can't really answer this until we know the sex of Tian. Well, we're going to have to revisit this.
Well, no. I mean, look. At the end of the day... I saw a girl I went to high school with on Instagram and thought about sliding into those DMs. I just don't know exactly how to. So we can make this about DMs.
Why did we never talk to her before is what I want to know.
Well, maybe he or she, Tian, maybe Tian didn't go to, maybe they went to a massive high school that they couldn't muster up the courage at the time, whatever it is. But sliding into the DM, actually, believe it or not, like, that's probably the best, like, when you're sliding to somebody's DMs, My philosophy on it, I've done that once or twice in my life. My philosophy on it has always been the same. Yes, Christine.
I believe that if your friends are giving you a due date, then your friends are fucking morons. Well, when you find somebody, you find somebody. That's stupid. You don't get a due date. That means you're going to force yourself to date somebody and make them your girlfriend
and
just
also,
so you meet the
due
date.
My initial reaction is comes from a personal standpoint where I feel like there are guys that several guys that I went to high school with that have gotten divorced or continue to be single and have noticed that I am still single. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, let me talk to her because she's still single. Like I'm the only one left.
Well, I think maybe you're putting that into your own head. But that's rough. Do you see a lot of people coming, like people that you went to high school with, do you see them getting divorced now?
Yes.
Do they hit you up afterwards after that?
Yes.
Is that an awkward conversation?
Yes.
Have you gone on any dates with anybody that's gotten divorced?
No.
All right. Look, when it comes to, well, have you ever slid into someone's DM, Christine?
No.
So as someone who's done it, I guess, because I don't see how Lauren could have.
I go on Christine's Tinder and Bumble profile and I slide into guys' DMs. There.
I just
Candace
feel like for girls, it's got to be
conversations with people.
For girls, it's got to be so much easier because
but
here's
you know
the
what?
Thing.
You can say that. However, it can tend to be easier, but that doesn't mean the quality is there.
No, I understand that. And you're absolutely right. And it's probably a lot tougher. The engagement's easier because I think girls probably, you know, proportionally ignore guys more than, you know, guys ignore girls. But I'll tell you this much. When it comes to sliding in someone's DMs, if Tien's a guy, my philosophy has always been the same. If a girl is into you, and you can give me a little feedback on this, Christine, tell me if you think this will work. I just hit him with a hi, how are you? Because if a girl's into you, thinks you're attractive, this, that, and the other, they're going to respond no matter what.
If you send me a hi, how are you? I'm stalking your Instagram page and I'm seeing if I want to respond to
exactly.
You.
Exactly. So that's not something that's ever going to turn someone off, in my opinion. You're not going to get a hi, how are you, and not want to respond to that if you find that other person attractive.
Right, but if you call me like a name.
I have to get this. I have to take this.
You're not throwing up, are you?
No.
Okay. Go ahead.
She's leaving me.
That's all right. You're okay. You're in a safe place. How do you feel so far?
I'm okay.
Do you like the show?
Sure.
I feel like nobody wants to give me the satisfaction that the show is good.
Well, you just gave me my first compliment ever in however many years we've been friends.
We've had such an emotional roller coaster on this show between the phone and the compliments.
True.
It's so many things. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, like if a guy then just says, hi, how are you?
That's
and
fine.
You're
don't
gonna,
call me any names. They'll be like, hey, beautiful, this,
do you have crazy DMs that you get? What's the craziest DM you've ever received?
I don't really get crazy. I just get... Well, yesterday I did have something kind of weird happen, actually. That's never happened to me before.
What happened yesterday?
Somebody messaged me on my business page.
Like a LinkedIn?
No, like on my Facebook business page. Mm-hmm. And then from there, pulled my phone number from that page.
Oh, no,
and
tried
to FaceTime me.
No, thank you.
And then messaged me that they were FaceTiming me.
And it was a stranger.
And yes. And then tried to add me on Snapchat after that. And
no
I
thanks.
Had a block from everything.
No thanks.
Which was, that's never happened to me before. So I took my phone number down from my
That might have been some weird stuff at the end of that FaceTime.
Right? I just,
because why would you go to Snap after that?
Right. It freaked me out.
Yeah. No thanks.
But I've never had anything.
But you said no names. So what names do you get called on?
I don't know. It just, even like, just like. Guys think they're cute when they call you like a little stupid name,
like babe or something.
Yeah, it's just not just if you call me that in the first message, I don't know who you are. I'm not answering you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think the way I always looked at that this type of thing, you know, the DM world and everything like that. Number one, I don't think it's that weird because especially now, I think it's not. I don't think there's a stigma that comes with it because
not anymore.
Right,
because that's the way
I think it's
are
very
each
it's
other.
Very normal. But I think in Tien's case, they are, you know, high school mates or whatever it is from however long ago. You could probably elaborate a little more than what I would typically recommend if you were a stranger.
Right, I agree.
Right? Hey, and honestly, when I get in that point, what I'm the biggest fan of is just being brutally honest at that point. Say, hey, look, I know this is out of left field. We went to school together. I always thought you were cute. If you're up for a drink, I'd love to meet. If not, no pressure, no big deal. And if somebody rejects you, just be cool with it. Whatever,
right.
Move on. Like, let it go.
Right.
Don't take it personal.
Well, that's it. When you are kind enough to respond and not ignore the person, mm-hmm. and then the person responds in a volatile way, that's the worst. Because it's like, why are you getting so angry? I'm telling you, I'm being honest.
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah. No, I think, but you know, like, I think at the end of the day, though, just be honest, be yourself, and whatever they say, they say. But I wouldn't cast like a totally wide net either. Like, there's no pressure to get a girlfriend by a certain
right,
date.
I agree with Lauren on that.
You know, I do agree with Lauren on that.
Because you can't put the pressure on somebody.
No, because I just think
it's
you're
like
gonna
giving them an ultimatum.
Yeah, you're gonna make a mistake. This is not like, you know, you don't have a shot clock on this. This is not, you know, it's not like everybody, all the girls are gonna disappear. Right. You know what I mean? You're not grabbing a lifeboat. It's not how it works. But yeah, that's what I would say. But so, Christine, this is are you gonna listen to the show now? Are you gonna listen to your show, the show that you were on just now?
Yeah, sure.
If we're gonna wrap it up, basically.
I don't know.
Why do you don't think I would?
I don't know. I have no idea what you do.
Well, no, you don't. You don't have no idea. You have no idea.
Let's ask this: are you going to put my name in your phone and save it like an actual friend?
Sure. You did good today. Okay. Are you gonna listen to the show?
Sure.
Are you gonna subscribe?
If you'd like me to, you have to show
you
me
subscribe,
how.
You have to rate 5
how.
Stars. You have to comment. You have to do the whole thing.
All right. That's
and then
fine.
Yes,
I'll be
I will
supportive.
Save the name in your phone. Okay. No, this was good. Would you come on and do it again?
I sure would if you'd like me to.
I thought it was a good show.
Yeah.
You know, talk about a lot of fun things.
It's also a little therapeutic.
It is a little bit. You know what? I feel like that's part of the reason why people write in. Like, there is a little bit of a. It feels nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good show. Go. Bye, Laura.
Wait, you have to take me to my car.
All right. Well, this is fun.
Thanks, Lauren.
Catch you later. Thank you, Lauren. You tried. We'll catch you guys later.